Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to episode 519 of the Overseas Connection podcast. I am not your host. I am Robin Tate, Bongo the Sane, and due to some Irish things going on for the first 60 seconds or so of the podcast, it was a bit corrupt, a bit nasty. So I've cut that out and now I shall return you to our programme and the ever sexy, ever tank-topped Greg DeLacy will guide you through the next hour and a half or so of wonderful entertainment. So thank you and enjoy your burrito, everyone.
We have a break in the rain right now on my neck of the woods, so we have sunshine, but it is short-lived because it will be raining once again in the evening hours. So there you have it. Anyway, hey, if you are listening to this podcast, thank you very much. Tell a friend. Tell two friends. Why not? It's like the new thing. It's trendy. Look. We need to celebrate something, and this is, it's a celebration of life. It's also a sad time. These individuals have gotten older, and it's never easy to handle. Look, birthdays are tough, especially as we get older, they get even harder. So
I get harder.
Unlike other things.
Congratulations, and also we send our salutations and our deepest sympathies, we're paying respect to Chris Henwood and Fraser Moores, who both got much older or will soon to be much older. Mm-hmm. So,
Fraser has always been old, hasn't he? I mean, when I think of Fraser, just mature, sort of Uncle Fraser, he's always, you could ask him for advice.
I feel the same way, but I'm pretty sure he's much younger than me, which pisses me off more than anything. but either way, happy birthday to both of them. And for that, we are giving you this gift of life and resurrection.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
That's enough of that.
Yep. Happy birthday, fellas.
Happy birthday, guys. Yes. Fraser thinks next Saturday, so he's right on the cusp of next week's show. So, he might get another jag. You never know. He might get another jagger. So,
hey.
Call him two jags.
Yeah, Two Jag Fraser. That's the new nickname. Two Jag Fraser. All right. Speaking of stories, let's talk some story time.
Okay. Yeah. Damn it, I still haven't got used to that name for the new one. So that's story time old. You would have thought I would have written on my soundboard story time new. That would
have
been.
Thought.
But it says hooray, it's, and that's what it is. So.
Story time, hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
Kind of makes sense because it says hooray, it's story time, and hooray, it's.
Sure.
But it just, Mark, I should really name it, and then, I should know it, and then Fraser, I should do that, shouldn't I?
Thank you very much. Love it.
Yeah, shoot. Yeah, thanks.
All right, let's talk some story time. Kim.
Yes.
We know you're starting to thaw. We just talked about the fact that there is no snow. That's good.
Yeah. I actually wore shorts last week. Hey.
Hello.
Yep.
But let's talk about training things.
Okay. I went last weekend, right after the show, as a matter of fact, I went to see How to Train Your Dragon, 3, or it's The Hidden World, whatever. It's the third movie in the trilogy. So...
Oh wow!
It was very good. I liked
them. Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up. Way thumbs up. Up. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. It was very good. So if you like the How to Train Your Dragon movies, I highly suggest it.
Would
they wrapped it up really well?
Would you believe that myself and Judith and the kids, we watched How to Train Your Dragon 2 this afternoon.
Ooh.
So
is that in preparation?
No, because they had seen it in cinema and it's now available. And I went to the cinema with them, but I think I must have slept through nearly all of the bit in the middle, because I remember the beginning and I remember the end, but I don't remember all the stuff in the middle of it. So yeah, I think I fell asleep.
It was like a new movie. Yeah,
right. Yeah, exactly.
And they are good. And it's funny, I know that you see their kids' movies, but they do tackle some serious enough subjects to death and disability and different bits and pieces like that there. So, yeah, it's pretty good.
I don't want to just, you know, totally say this is a Pixar thing, but it's something that I've noticed with a lot of today's animated movies that they especially the ones that are geared towards kids, they still cover fairly adult topics too. They bridge that gap to where adults can watch it and find value and have fun with it.
Yeah.
And kids, of course, just get drawn in by the cartoony bits.
Hmm, yeah, Toy Story would be another one that would be very, very good as well with subject matter and stuff. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Toy Story.
Yeah. And there's a new one of those coming as well in June, isn't there? Mm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there you are. Isn't that odd?
I guess, Kim, your movie is probably a good place for us to transition to another movie that is great. It's not so much a movie, it's a series of movies, Robin. Oh, you and I only saw Love, Death, and Robots. Oh. This is definitely not suitable for children.
Oh, no.
Yeah, absolutely not. Kim, have you seen this yet as well?
I haven't, but I've heard people compare it to Heavy Metal, and I know what that one's like. So
right. Oh,
that's a good comparison.
I don't know, is it? Is it? I don't have it.
Sort of. So Heavy Metal was an animated movie that came out way back when. I mean, this is like late 80s, I think, is when it came out. It was a fantasy future animated movie, you know, dealing with dragons and spaceships. I mean, it was like kind of all over the map, but they embraced the sex scenes. So you got lots of crazy weird sex scenes in that movie. It was very unsettling at the time because, of course, that was, you know, kids' movies were cartoons, not adults. Mm-hmm. So it broke some new ground, I will say. And this series, so Love, Death, and Robots is on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It is a collection of animated short movies. Every movie deals with love and death. Not every movie deals with robots. That's one thing I have noticed. There are a few
of the shorts that
are not robots, but for the most part, the theme is love, death, and robots is somehow intermixed into the themes of these different shorts. So every little movie is anywhere from 10 minutes to 20 minutes.
Hmm.
It is a collection of really well done. I've enjoyed every one I've seen so far.
Yeah. Well, I've watched them all. So I started at a very wise man had mentioned this. It wasn't Phil Olson. Maybe it was. So Phil had said to watch these, and I started watching one. And I went, oh my god! I mean, the first one really hits you between the shorts and curlies. I mean, it is very—it's sexy and violent and gory. But then the next one is a gentle thing. It's funny actually with robots. And it's not a spoiler. It's three robots walking through a dystopian place when all of mankind, if it's Earth, have disappeared, and it's like The Last of Us, where everything has got all overgrown. Brilliant. Just funny, and they're sort of analysing, what was this, and what's that?
Kind of what happened to humans, it was kind of a look at our past.
I would say, out of the 18 of them, I would say there was probably 12 that I thought were really good.
I did not know there was 18 yet. I've gotten through 8.
Yeah, I think
so far the first 8 I think are really solid. There's one that I would say was a Japanese anime one that dealt with I'll just say very anime kind of themes set in feudal Japan or feudal China. I'm not sure where it was actually set. I didn't get on with as much. It wasn't bad.
Was that the one with the tail? The thing in the tail?
Yes, and it was actually, in fact, it was China. It deals with China, although it's a alternate world China because they get into steampunk.
Steampunk. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah. See, there you go. Yeah.
I thought it was just okay. I wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is great.
Yeah, the first one and the second one really, wow. Some of them, fair enough. There's one about Hitler, and it's really...
I haven't got to that one yet.
And it's a funny cartoon one, very, very cartoony, and it's what would happen if Hitler had been killed as a kid, okay? And if he was killed one way or another way or another way, and he dies in all very, very funny ways, like an asteroid lands on his head as he's walking home from school one day, and mad robots come. Anyway, it's funny. And there's some of them were way out there with concept stuff, and some of them are very violent, but I thoroughly recommending watching Love, Death and Robots, because it's a unique collection of really, really good stuff. Not for kids. Mm-mm.
No, not for kids at all. I mean, a constant theme through this is a lot of nudity and sexual overtones, if not just straight up sex scenes. And they don't shy away from the nudity. I mean, there's all different types of genitalia on display.
There is indeed.
I would like to say, though, one of my favorite episodes has mechs in it. So
surely not.
Oh, yeah. And and farmers.
Yes.
Yes.
Mechs and farmers.
Yeah, it's still working. Perfect. This is you. You will watch that. Yeah, yeah. Kicking ass.
Love, Death, and Robots. If you have not seen it yet, and you have Netflix, you are doing yourself a disservice. Go out, watch it. And like I said, they're 10 to 20 minute episodes, so you can pop in a couple real fast. Hmm. There's no continuation of it. Like so they're all
minutes,
individual
eight,
movies.
10 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll add it to my list.
Cool.
All right, Robin.
Yes.
What is this Blue Planet thing?
Okay, so Blue Planet is something that's very special. I'm surprised you haven't heard about it. So Blue Planet is a TV series that's been going on for probably about 10 years now with David Attenborough. And Blue Planet... Blue Planet focused on the oceans and under the oceans and cameras that had never been seen anywhere before. And David Attenborough would talk about the stuff that was going on, and there would be a fantastic musical score going on in the background. So Joshua for Christmas got some tickets to go and see this, and he asked his dad, which was nice. Didn't have to, but it was lovely. Aww. So we went to a big stadium. On the screen right now, there, at the front of the hall, was a big massive screen, and there was a 60-piece orchestra, full orchestra.
Wow.
And some girl that was on Strictly Come Dancing, blah, blah, blah. Each little segment, she introduced it. So it was like maybe a 4 or 5 minute musical section and an aspect from Blue Planet 2. And if you've never heard a full orchestra, I would have went quite a lot when I was a kid, but if you've never heard a full orchestra in a closed room live, it's an awesome sound. It's an awesome experience, and Joshua had never heard that before in that way, and he thoroughly loved it. So it was very, very good. Very, not your usual sort of concert thing. It's not my thing. You know, there wasn't enough old people dancing wildly in the aisles. It was quite civilized, you know, because it is a nature program, I suppose. But fabulous visuals, set in time to music, and a lovely experience last night. So if you ever get the chance to go and see Blue Planet, the concert, live concert, I would thoroughly recommend picking it up and doing it. In fact, the new series of Blue Planet Live started tonight at 9 o'clock here. And I'm sorry, 8 o'clock here. And I caught the first couple of minutes of it. And what they're doing, it's not even the pre-recorded thing that takes years and years to do. There was somebody in Baja, in a couple of boats outside Baja.
Okay.
Off the coast of Mexico, and there was there was two boats, and the whole crew were in them, and there was wheels around them, and then they jumped over to somewhere in Australia early in the morning, and she was at the Great Barrier Reef, and she's going to be talking about that, and then there was someone else in America somewhere, doing something else there, just the technology, all live. Swapping, you know, so amazing. They're in the boats filming these wheels coming up live and trying to talk live about it, and then skipping to the other side of the world. It's just fabulous, the technology of this stuff.
That's actually some good foreshadowing, because we are going to certainly be talking about technology later on.
Oh, cool.
Well done.
So there you go. That was Blue Planet and stuff. And yeah, there you are. What about else? I see something about nappies.
Yeah, so I've got a laundry list of things to talk. I'm going to start with the negatives, and I'm going to go to the positives. So last night, we live in a pretty low-key, very quiet neighborhood. But Cindy and I have been getting into bad habits of forgetting to lock our car.
Uh-oh.
And so I go out to the gym this morning, and I get into we have a Buick Enclave. I get into the Enclave to start it up, and I look over, and I notice our glove box is wide open, and there's like a couple little things, like some wet nap things that are in there, but nothing else. Normally we have our registration book, our owner's manual, all that stuff's in there. And I just look at it, and I'm like, shh. Because I knew when I came out to the car and I hit the unlock, it didn't do, like, I couldn't hear the actual door locks unlock. You know how you'll hear that, like, kind of that click sound?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of assumed we forgot to lock the car. Well, yeah, lo and behold, we forgot to lock the car, and somebody helped themselves to the inside of our car at some point in time last night. So we have to get new registration papers, obviously, for the car. But outside of some CDs being stolen, because they did take a book of CDs out of the car, I mean, nothing else happened to it. So at least there's that. No broken glass, nothing, you know, that can't be replaced, really, got taken. So it just sucks. It just sucks that you have to deal with that. Look, if you think stealing stuff is cool, then you know what? Fuck you. That's all I have to say to that.
Yep.
There's nothing worse than getting your car broken into, because it feels like you've been violated.
Yeah, this didn't feel as bad, and I think it's because I don't have to deal with getting a window replaced.
Yeah,
I've been there. I've had a car broken into where they smashed through the window. That really sucks. This, you know, if the worst thing I have to do is go to the DMV to get new registration papers, I can live with that. So diapers. Let's talk about diapers. So my son is special needs little boy, and his daycare was complaining because my son is getting bigger, but there's a weird like gap. So we have a diaper service that basically provides diapers for Colin. They have some youth sizes, and then they kind of jump into adult sizes. There's not really an in between.
No, I know.
Yeah, and Colin is at that stage that he really needs that in between diaper, and it just doesn't exist. So we're at this point. I mean, I ordered a whole bunch of different samples from the company trying to find something that might work. These things are like balloons on them. I mean, they swallow his whole body up. So it's just like, okay, this is not going to work. So we will make do with the ones he's been using, and you know, just tell his daycare to get better at putting on diapers. We don't have a problem with them personally. It was a request from his daycare. They're like, get a bigger size diaper. I'm like, you know what? Fucking get better at your job. That's my response to this.
God, just you wouldn't believe. Yeah. So tomorrow here is a bit of behind the curtain. It's tomorrow's bin day here. Okay, so the bin day, bins are collected on Monday. We've got two bins. So one normal UK sized big wheelie bin, and one bigger one, because we have a disabled child in the house, and we have a lot of nappies, diapers. But
right.
we also have a baby at the moment, so there's even more nappies. Hers are tiny.
Oh, yeah.
But the big bin, which is up to chest height on me,
right,
it's a big bin, and that bin's emptied every 2 weeks, that bin is completely full of nappies at the end of the 2 weeks.
That's pretty amazing. Oh, it's every 2 weeks, though.
It's every two weeks.
Oh, all right. Okay. That's every 2 weeks. I can see that then. That I could see.
That's a serious amount of nappy changing that goes on in this house. So, just unbelievable.
We get our garbage collected every week.
Yeah, it used to happen with chains it around. So it's recycling stuff 1 week and then me and stuff all right. But so we go. Yeah, if you don't have to change nappies, and I've been changing nappies now for a long time, and will be for a long time. Most people have it for a few years, but
No,
it's it gets we're experts at it now.
we're experts at it, but I mean, truth be told, you know, the world as your child gets bigger, and especially if they have special needs, they need to use diapers, that kind of thing. It becomes infinitely more difficult to deal with.
You've got a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, not fun.
You know this. Yeah, you know this. Fun. I mean, you know, you go to a public restroom, there's nothing in that public restroom that's going to, you know, even the handicap stall is not really all that helpful.
No. Mm-hmm. That's a big beef with ourselves that we cannot, I'm sorry, we're sidetracking, so, but we're going to here.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Because we cannot go anywhere for a long period of time or a full day trip or any, really many places that aren't like an hour, more than an hour from home, because there just isn't anywhere for adults or young men or young girls to get a nappy changed. They're really so few and far between, and you can't go into the toilet. Can you imagine if I asked you to go down and lie on the toilet floor of McDonald's or your local restaurant or anywhere? And so I know it's a big thing to ask. It is a big thing to ask a business to put in a lift and or a big bed thing or table which is big enough for an adult to lie down on. I mean, again, that we don't need anything fancy. Don't need hospital equipment. Just a big bench, please. A big bench would be great. I have a big bench, that'd be brilliant. It doesn't need to be overthought.
And also, while we're on this note, dear airlines, please stop making your bathroom smaller and smaller. I mean, it's hard enough for me just being in there by myself. I stupidly, and we already talked about this a while ago, but I did try attempting to change my son's dirty diaper in one of those bathrooms by myself. That was hysterically funny. I mean, I suddenly realized I was spreading things around far more than I was cleaning anything up. So there's that.
And the next guy that came along to the toilet, sorry. Anyway, okay, one last thing there for I would just want to mention again. Coming up very, very soon now, only a couple of weeks away, is the Arcade Club meetup up in Bury, and that's on Saturday the 13th of April. I will be there. My son, we're flying over for the day. Mark's coming down. The Veteran Gamers guys will be there. Last time there was about 40, 50 odd people came. We're going to spend the day. The Arcade Club's full of arcade machines. You pay 15 quid in. Everything else after that to play games is free. You have to buy food. And we'll have a bit of crack, a bit of fun all day long. And then anybody that can hang around for the evening, they're going to go out for pizza and have even more fun. So if you want to come along, send me a tweet at Bongo the Sane, or send it to bongo@ocpod.com. And I'll hook you up with all the details, or contact Stu or Mike from the Veteran Gamers. And it was a great event last year, so that's it. So,
All right. Well, before we move on, one last thing on my end. I promised to talk about this. So we have a couple different WhatsApp groups. One of our WhatsApp groups is all about exercise and trying to stay motivated on losing weight, that kind of thing. So... Well,
Just a second. I'm just going to get a Mars bar here. Just a second. I'll be back.
That's okay. Go for it.
I'm joking.
By the way, one of the things I discovered, mochas from Starbucks are like not healthy.
They're not healthy
in any way.
And I've just discovered the chai latte, and it's like, oh, I want one. How many calories?
Anyway. Well, so here's how I can help with that.
Oh, okay.
So
get your pens ready, everybody. Right this time.
Yeah, back when I was actually doing a lot of working out, I was actually working out with a whole bunch of people that were competition workout people as well. I got into tracking my diet, and I was going on websites. I was finding out all the nutrition, calorie counts, that kind of thing. That was tedious work. I was actually putting into a spreadsheet. I was, trying to keep myself under certain calories in a day. But I recently discovered, and it's not recently so much for me, but I wanted to talk about it again. It's an app called Lose It.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of what it looks like. I don't know if you can see that. But basically what it does, it has all different kinds of foods in there. So you can scan a barcode on a package, and it will pull up the nutritional value of a single serving, and you can adjust the serving. So however much you actually eat, whether it be, you know, one serving, two servings, or you can go by ounces, and it will pull in the proteins, the carbs, and the fat grams of the food, as well as the calorie count for you. You also program in your weight and your goal weight. So if you're trying to lose, say, 10 pounds, it will, and you can put in a date.
Excuse me?
It'll give you.
Excuse me?
Yes. Yes, yes.
So all of these features you've said right now are in the Fitbit app. So you can scan a barcode and you can put your weight
if
in.
If you don't have a Fitbit app, I'm just saying.
Okay.
This is the I do not have a Fitbit. So I just found this app. I can log in what I do, whether it be through the barcode, or I can do searches for the food on the internet, pull it in, log it in, and it in a sense creates this, I'll call it a game, for lack of a better way to put it. So right now, my goal, if I look at this, is every day I am budgeted out 1,695 calories for the entire day.
Okay.
It breaks it down by breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks. And as long as I stay under that amount,
yes,
it is keeping me on track to lose my weight by said time, whatever my time frame is.
Hmm.
If I exercise, I can log the exercise in as well, and it will track that. So it'll give me that amount of calories kind of to burn off as well. So like this morning, had a really great workout, so now my actual budget for the day is 2,042 calories.
So that is very similar to the Fitbit one, or I'm sure the Apple one probably has something like that as well, but they are very useful, and I used this religiously last year.
Yes,
I have to start using it religiously again.
This is my point, is for somebody who might be struggling with losing weight, or somebody that might be struggling with staying kind of motivated, what's great about the way this app and all of these apps work is it kind of gamifies things, because you start looking at your calories for the day. And if it goes over, it goes into the red. And if you stay under, you kind of get the notification that you're under your calories for the day. And eventually, it starts helping you understand your eating patterns, how much you should be eating during each meal to keep yourself within the right calorie limits. So it's a great way to help you kind of relearn and rethink how you're approaching your eating to try and lose weight. Now, if I didn't want to try and lose weight, I would definitely be able to eat more calories than what's stated on the application. Mm. But again, for those friends that are maybe trying to lose weight, trying to get, you know, a little bit more fit, this is a great thing to use to help you understand and get on track. And because it's a daily thing and it's super easy to use, that's another reason why I really like it, because again, it's helping you easily log the stuff in and then just, you know, like I said, make it a game, you know?
So tell me, Mr. DeLisi, how much is this app?
It's free.
Free?
That's the best part about this. So yeah, so Lose It is free. The basic service is free. You can buy the premium service, but quite frankly, all the stuff I talked about is part of the free app. So it will, every day you log in or every other day you log in, it says, hey, do you want to go premium? And then you just say, no, thanks. And you just log in for the rest of the day. It won't bug you again. So that's another reason why I like it. It's free. And again, you can search. So you can type in what you ate. If the barcode comes up and it doesn't find the food, you can type it in and it'll do an internet search for the food.
Yeah, I like the way it has I have it running on the stream at the moment. It actually looks nice and simple, and I like the way it has little photographs of the food and stuff. So
yeah, and it is simple, and once you also start creating, you know, multiple days of eating, it starts to log your meals. So you can simply, if you eat the same thing for breakfast every day, all you have to do is go to your meals and you can add your meal in for breakfast.
Okay. So, easily enough. Right. If you're listening to this podcast, right, you are
confused.
You're of a certain age. Okay. You know, you either are young. If you're young, if you're in your early 20s, listening to us. Yeah, fair enough. Great. Hello. How are you? How you doing? Woohoo. But I'd say he's more mature listeners. And I tell you what, see, when you get to my age, It's so hard to take weight off, but it's amazingly quick to put it on.
And, no kidding.
You know, when you're in your early 20s, mid-20s, even early 30s, you can eat what you want, and pretty much most people doesn't really affect them that much because you're active and you're going. And I'm still active, but it just seems to go on so easily. So, yeah, this is the sort of stuff that we have to do when I'm getting into your 40s. And, you know, and 50s. Yeah. So there you go. This is good advice. And if Greg can turn it into a game for you, great. So, and as well as that, we do have a support group for ourselves, for the guys. And it sort of was going strong last year when I was in the middle of all my weight loss stuff. I need to get out of the game because I put my weight back on. But I need to just get that under check. So, you know, yeah, if you want to join that WhatsApp group with us, just let us know, and we'll pull you in there too.
Yeah, my goal right now is I'm trying to dump 10 pounds in time for Vegas. I'm actually already kind of there, so I am now probably going to reset a new goal because I'm still about a month away before Vegas. So, but you know, at the end of the day, it's helpful. It works.
Yeah.
Again, everything will work if you do things properly. So. You know, you have to use the app, you have to do the exercise, you have to, you know, do these things. But if you can approach it as a game, and I think that's really where this helps out, because that's how I look at it. And I'm like, oh, I was under today. Oh, I was just a little bit over. All right, well, I'll do better tomorrow. Those kinds of things, I think, help kind of motivate us. And that gaming mentality obviously ties in well with what we're talking about now. Mm-hmm. Speaking of games, let's talk video games.
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
I'm a pathetic loser.
I know. What?
All right. Video game. Let's talk about video what games. We've been playing. Look, the March games with Gold and PlayStation Plus, Twitch games, we've already talked about that on the previous podcast. Those aren't changing out anytime soon, so I don't think there's a need for us to cover that again. Mm-hmm. So let's just dive into what we have been playing. Robin, why don't you start us off?
I am going to talk about something that I have been following for a long time, but have never really done anything about it until now. And I started last week there, Monday, I think I started to play Hollow Knight. Now, Hollow Knight is something I kept an eye on, and it was always... okay, starting game, Robin. Hollow Knight is a game that has been lauded as a fantastic platformer in the same vein as Ori and the Blind Forest, with beautiful-looking imagery and sound. So, it is. It's a Metroidvania-style Ori and the Blind Forest type game. And you play this little Hollow Knight, but everything's a bug. So you're a little bug or a creature or a beetle, and all of the enemies are generally beetles or little creatures in this fantastical world underground or overground. I don't know where it is, but it's just gorgeous. Now, the differences between Ori and this is, yes, there's lots of hardish platforming in Ori and the Blind Forest. It isn't just as hard in this here, but the boss battles and the monsters are harder to kill. I've just got to a part now where I've got a few more abilities, and I can now access some areas that I didn't have before. So some of the challenges in it and some of the nice little features in it is that when you get your health, you can get hit about 5 times, and when you hit a creature, you build up some energy, and you can press the B button when you have enough energy to get one of those lives back. So if you keep on hitting as you fight in the fighting sections of it, this little meter fills up, and you can restore your 5 lives really, really quickly. But if you get killed completely, you're back to your last save point. Now, save points are little seats, and they're not everywhere. So it is one of those games where you could be not long, but you could be 30 seconds or a minute away from where you were.
Just check the progress.
You have to fight. Oh. Yeah, you have to fight your way back. And when you go into a shop, you can buy pins to go onto the map to show you where those seats are. Because then the map just shows the map as you uncover it, but it doesn't show the seats. So you have to go in and buy little pins and markers to put on the map. Complex, but done in a simple, beautiful way. It's fantastic. I love some of the worlds and scenery that I've came through has been absolutely fantastic, and it was lauded as a game that got 99%, 98% everywhere it went to. It's a couple of years old now, and it was reduced a while back, and I've had it sitting in my library for a while. But yes, Kim, it has that Ori feel. But there was one boss battle that I went through there called the Hornet, and it was pretty difficult. I probably had to do it about, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 times to get through this thing. But it was learning the moves and the patterns of it. But yeah, if you like a platformer and like a Metroidvania, if you liked Ori and those sorts of things that I like, and you haven't played Hollow Knight, because I know a lot of the people already have, and I'm late to the party, but it's fabulous, and it's just absolutely sublime in how well it's been made. So yeah, Hollow Knight would be a big recommend from me.
Cool.
It's consumed me this week.
I bought it when PlayStation was having a sale. I got it for like $7 because Frazier was bragging about it, so I was curious.
Yeah,
it sounds good.
I don't know why I never started it, but it just. You had to be in that frame of mind, but yeah,
that's, you know a game I have never started. Ori and the Blind Forest.
Well played. You need to play it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know.
That's a must play, and I think this is up there as a must play, as sort of best something in Ori and this sort of best in class of this sort of thing. So,
All right.
There you go, that's me. That's I played that. That was really good. What else did anybody else play? Anything else that was different?
Kim, I'll let you talk about real quickly the Strange Brigade DLC, because I know that was something that you just recently picked up.
Yeah, we started playing that, and it comes with new people. There's some new weapons. It also comes with a smaller campaign, I guess you'd call it a smaller campaign. But you have the Thrice Damned, which I'm going to read these out of order because that's how they are. There's the Thrice Damned, the Sunken Kingdom, which, as a matter of fact, I think is what we're doing now. That's one of the campaigns. There's the Thrice Dead, the first one, which is Isle of the Dead, which puts you on a tropical island. And, of course, you have pirates, skeletons, and that sort of thing. And then there's the third one, which is the Great Pyramid of Bess. So, or Beasts, or some shit like that. But anyway, if you liked playing through Strange Brigade, playing through the campaign, the first one, I highly recommend picking up the season pass, because it's more of the same and it's good.
Kim, how long is the single player campaign? Because halfway through it. It's not that long, is it?
No, it's not really. I mean, it seems long to me because we've played it. We've played over it multiple times, but no, it's if you sit and you play it through one sitting with you and a couple of friends. Maybe. Yeah, it's not very long.
Yeah, I really must get tidied away.
Especially if you're playing it on easy, because, I mean, we went from playing it on easy, and now we're playing it, like, on medium. I think we've played it on hard a couple times and got our ass totally kicked. So we've pretty much stuck it in about the middle foreground there of between easy and hard, and it's not so bad once you know what you're kind of doing. So, and I think there for a while it was on sale if you got Game Pass for, like, $31, so... You know, if you have Game Pass, you didn't pay anything for the game, so $30 for the DLC, that's not so bad.
I suppose I don't mind that sort of thing if you're getting your value from it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, right, well, exactly. So, yeah, Strange Brigade DLC. It's good stuff.
Strange Brigade. That is one of the, one of those games that just really came out of nowhere. I mean, I saw it a ways back, like, I saw it advertised and they were talking about it. I want to say it was at E3, either a year back or 2 years back. And I was like, that looks interesting. And then just didn't hear anything about it. And then it just, like, stealth released. And it was like, it's out.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah.
It's up there. Again, it's that B or C tier that, we talked about with Crackdown. you know,
it's not triple A quality, no. But it's like a B quality, yeah,
if you will. It's like that Crackdown 3 thing that we talked about a few weeks ago. There, yep. It's lots of fun to play. Not the best game ever, but just lots of fun. It's one of those.
Right. Yep. Right.
Mm.
Exactly. All right.
I see. I know you're continuing on with your Red Dead Redemption 2 play.
Yeah. I got the mission where Dutch got us in to be deputies, which was interesting. And I walked in and they pinned the badge on my chest, and I'm just laughing my ass off, thinking, "Yep, for deputies, this is hilarious." So apparently, Dutch must have laid it on pretty thick in order to get us that job. So yeah, that was the last one I did. So I'm still plodding away at it, and if people want to complain about that, they can kiss my butt, because I love the game and I'm dragging it out as far as I can. So
hey, nothing to be ashamed of there.
I have waited how many years for this to come along, and it's here, and I'm going to enjoy
it.
You
enjoy it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Enjoy the cowboyness. Yes.
Damn straight. So that's it for me.
All right. Well, I know we both played, Robin, you and I both played some Trials Rising, but I figure we'll talk about that when we bring the competition
up.
In the meantime, Division 2, I've continued to play through that. I won't rehash that.
Still liking it?
It's a good game, yes. I am enjoying it. It is harder, and I think that's something that Mark and I were discussing kind of off our group chats, but Division 2 definitely seems like the AI, because they improve the AI in their flanking and how they attack you, it feels more difficult. I don't think it's hugely different in so much that it's the same kind of story of, you know, the world's kind of gone to shit. And you're out on the streets, kind of cleaning things up and trying to make the area of Washington D.C. better. It is what it is. Mm. So from that standpoint, I'm like, the story doesn't really move me. I don't like the silent protagonist part of it, but the gameplay really is what sells the Division. And the Division 2 has that good gameplay loop. It's got the nice grindy. It's a loot shooter or slooter. I think that's what people are starting to say, which kind of kills me.
Sounds dirty.
So,
I've seen some people on Twitter saying, that they've had fantastic experiences, fantastic battles and shooting, right. And they say that the shooting aspect of it is a better than the first one. So, the shooting battles are a cover.
I think a lot of people were really turned off by the first one because enemies really, they're bullet sponges. And mm-hmm. in this game, boss battles, those enemies are going to be bullet sponges. However, the way they depict the boss characters now, the bullet sponginess doesn't seem out of place. And what I mean by that is, again, and I think we mentioned this last week, but in the first game.
Sorry, one second, Greg. Kim, can you deal with that, please?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, bad person on Twitch.
Banhammer. Mm-hmm. Yep, Banhammer. But look, so the first game, the Division, you had purple and yellow enemies, and they had extra armor to them, and you would be firing at them, and they would just slowly kind of tick down, and there just really wasn't a reason why they had more health and armor. It just, it was. And so a lot of people got turned off by that because, again, it was just, you're making these enemies bullet sponges for no apparent reason other than they're tougher. In this game, those boss battles, those characters come out, they have armor on. And so as you start shooting them and you start kind of blowing pieces of armor off, that's when they start having their health come down. And it just, it feels better to see that visual.
Yeah. That's right.
It's not really different, but it just they got smarter about making it visually more appealing to why they might have more health.
Yeah, they're still bullet sponges, but not so bad. Yeah, because you can always see the progress of their death. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. 100%. Anyway, so Division 2, enjoying it. If you like the first one, you definitely will like this one. If you are going into this heavily for a solid story with lots of narrative, not probably the game for you. The other game I've been playing is Battlefield 5. I fired this up You know, I had dabbled in Battlefield 5 when it first came out through EA Access. I got the 10-hour trial, jumped in, played it, and I wasn't blown away. It felt very similar to Battlefield 1, and so I was kind of like, eh.
You know, when I was pulling up the video footage for Now That's Just Playing right now, as dopey as I was, going, yeah, this is like World War II stuff, like, yeah, World War One. Is this? I've played this, haven't I? Battlefield. Yes, I played the last one, and then it sort of struck me. Oh yeah, for goodness sake, that was Battlefield One.
Yeah.
Where this is now 5, and the naming convention got me. I don't know. I'm sorry for being stupid, but yeah, that naming.
Well, the naming convention was absolutely stupid. I don't know why they said Battlefield One when it was technically the fifth game, because technically now this is the sixth game. If you really want to get like, and yep. It's probably not even that. There's probably even more of that, but anyway.
But I know, but it just looks like Battlefield. You're absolutely right. It just looks like. I know it's a different time zone,
right?
But it just looks like it was another one of those mini story things added on to Battlefield 1.
And that you know, they did the vignettes again, so they have this small little single player. There's like a collection of I think 4 or 5 vignettes that you play through.
I enjoyed those.
So very much the same formula of Battlefield 1. It's not bad, but at the time I was kind of like, I feel like I've already played this game recently, so I wasn't really jumping for joy over
it. Yeah, yeah.
The reason why I picked up Battlefield 5, though, is Battlefield 5 Firestorm, their new Battle Royale mode, comes out tomorrow.
Woo-hoo.
That does have me very much excited, and I found that they had the game on sale for $30, 50% off last week, or 2 weeks back, so I said, you know what, I'm just going to buy it. Right, take the plunge, why not? So got it on sale. And, you know, again, I feel like I've been here before. It really does feel samey to me. So I'm not overly, wowed by Battlefield 5.
It's the Firestorm.
Yeah, the Firestorm is what's got me excited.
And I'm ready for them to go back to modern, to be honest.
Yeah. I think a lot of people kind of... in retrospect, wish they had, because I think a lot of people were clamoring, oh, World War II would be great, and then they brought it out, and they're like, eh, this does feel kind of like the same as we just played. Maybe we should have gone modern. So, anyway, but Battlefield 5, Firestorm, that comes out tomorrow. I will definitely talk about that next week.
Yeah, because, older people have to play, you know, like Battle Royale games that are a bit slower, like PUBG and, suppose, Firestorm, because Apex Legends... and Fortnite are maybe just a wee bit too fast for your reflexes, Greg. So
it makes sense. I've been hearing a lot of pensioners getting ready Battle to Royale. Jump off Apex Legends. I am wondering if the Steam is running out of that machine. Anyway, we'll see.
Anyway, so people haven't really lost money on it, and so because it was free.
I mean, Apex Legends is a good game. Don't get me wrong. It just wasn't something that really resonated with me. Mm. Just like Call of Duty. I kind of got off the Call of Duty bandwagon, so there's that.
Cool.
Hey, let's do a quiz.
Oh,
no, oh boy!
Let's do a quiz. Oh yes, I love quizzes. Quizzes are fantastic.
Mm-hmm. 20 questions.
Ooh.
All right. So the quiz, in case you are not familiar, we do a 20-question quiz where we pick a AAA game title from the current gen, and then the panel has to try and guess using 20 questions that are yes or no answers. Then if somebody is able to guess the game before the 20 questions are done, they get the point. If nobody can answer the actual name of the game by the end of it, then the person that picked the game gets the point. I am fully prepared to have a game for you to guess. So why don't we dive into it?
Yeah, you do. Kim and I are Robin, so good at this.
We'll start with you, Robin.
Yeah.
We'll start with you.
Is it a shooter?
That is a good question.
Jesus Christ, that's not sounding too good, Greg. Really, if you can't friggin' tell us...
No, let me just say, I'm going to be generous to you, there's a shooting mechanic in it, but you would not be considered a shooter.
There's a shooting. Okay. All right.
This is me being nice to you.
All right.
All right. Is there co-op or multiplayer?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it? Damn it. Is it in the future or based in the past? Or different?
Well, that's not really a yes or no question.
No. Okay. Is it in the future?
Yes.
Okay. Future boy.
I'm gonna be nice to you again.
Yes.
It would be considered a future to us, but not necessarily future sci-fi.
Okay.
How's
that? Okay. 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 John Mouse knows what it is already. John, what's your guess?
Right. Give us a hint. You know.
If John guesses it, he's out. If he's wrong.
Are there any sequels or prequels?
Yes. Mm.
Okay.
Sequels and prequels. Shit. Have we played this as a podcast together? Are members from the podcast with you this year?
Okay, there's a lot of questions being asked. question. what is your question?
Has any member of this podcast played this game with you this year?
This year, no.
Okay.
Okay, is this available on both PC and console?
Yes.
Are there robots in it? Are you a robot?
No.
No robots. Holy shit.
No robots.
No robots.
Help me, mummy.
Let's see. I don't know.
Scintillating
radio.
Yes. I know.
Keep it moving.
I'm running out of questions. Is your protagonist a male?
Yes.
Hmm. Is it third person?
Yes.
Hmm. Okay. Fuck it. A question from last week. Are there Nazis in it?
No, there are no Nazis.
Okay. Just checking.
Can the co-op be four player?
Don't think so. Let me just double check on that.
Oops.
I just need to double check on how many people can play. I want to say. What was your question again?
Can you have four people playing co-op with you?
No.
No.
No four player co-op.
So there's no gears then. It's not Portal. Third person. Damn it, Kim. We're useless.
I know, right?
Alright, you're on question 12, Kim.
What is that? If that helps. I don't know. Help!
Jesus Christ.
I know, right? Is there driving in this game?
Yes, there is driving in the game.
Alright.
Have I played this game?
There you go.
I don't know. I don't think so, Robin.
Hmm.
I don't think you have played this game.
Okay.
I might be able to verify that, but I'm 90% positive you have not played this game, Robin.
Okay.
Can you customize your appearance? Thank you, Sarah.
Good.
Yes.
Ooh.
Is it open world?
Yes.
Trying to think. Of course, I don't know if that one's got multiplayer in it. Shoot. Damn it. Is the mob involved?
The mob is not involved, no.
It's not that one.
The mob. Mob.
You're thinking Mafia 3, I think.
That's what I was thinking, because for some odd reason that one sprang to mind.
Do you steal cars in this game?
I would not consider it stealing cars in this game.
But you wouldn't consider it.
All right. Here's me being nice again.
Yes.
You don't really steal cars, but you come across vehicles that you can drive.
Okay. Ask it, Kim.
Kim? Question 18, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Considering it sounds like Robin has it figured out, or at least something like it. Alright, let's see. Do you have a sidekick?
Ooh, sidekick.
Dun, dun,
not
dun.
In the truest sense.
Okay.
Do we have how many questions
again,
left?
I'm going to be generous again here. So it's not a true sidekick, but there are characters
come on.
Participate along with your main character.
Alrighty.
Okay. How many questions do we have? Is that...
You have two questions left.
Okay. Are there zombies in it?
There are zombies in
this game. Ooh, Jimmy. How accurate.
Now. Anyway, alright. So, Kim, you have the 20th question. What do you think? What's your last question?
I'm just gonna guess because I don't have any more questions. And is it State of Decay 2?
Oh, fucking bitch. No.
Oh!
Is it State of Decay 1?
Has to be a AAA game on Xbox One. So it had to have come out on Xbox One, AAA game on Xbox One.
I don't know. What was it? We're not in Kim.
Well, all right, so I'm going to just recap real quickly for the audience. So it is got a shooting mechanic in it, but it's not considered a shooter. It has co-op and multiplayer in it. It is set in a future, so to speak, but not necessarily a future sci-fi game. Yes, there are sequels and prequels to this game.
Come on.
It was not so I did not play this game with anybody from our podcast team this year. It is on PC and on a console.
Well, he likes to drag it out.
Mouse is about to lose it here. Come on.
There's no robots. It's a male protagonist. third-person view. No Nazis in this game. There's no four-player co-op. It is limited to two-player co-op. Yes, there is driving.
Hurry up!
No, Robin, I don't think you ever played this game. There is customization of your appearance. It is considered an open world. There's no mob involvement. You do not steal cars, but you do come across a lot of vehicles. There's no sidekick. There are zombies. It is not State of Decay 2. Now, if I told you you could modify weapons and vehicles into other things, what might your guess have been at that point?
Cuphead. We're not very good at this.
If I told you it came out right around the Xbox One launch, and it had the term dead in it.
Rising 4, 3.
Dead Rising 3.
Oh, yeah, I
wouldn't. No, I wasn't lying. Dead Rising 3, there it is.
Yeah.
I never would have.
State of Decay was a great guess, though. State of Decay 2 was a great guess. And I realized as Robinson started getting excited, I'm like, oh, he's going to go down that rabbit hole. And State of Decay 2, quite honestly, they sound very similar. Very similar games. But yes.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Yeah, just keep an eye on that, Kim, again, will you, please? Okay, very well done. You stumped us again. We're not very good at this, but there you go. Dead Rising. We are definitely not worthy.
We have fun with it, though. It definitely sounds like we had some audience participation, so there you go.
Yeah,
I think John Mouse finally passed out. He was so excited. So. he couldn't handle the pressure.
But you know what? It's lovely because we do this together. Because you know what, with all the people in the chat and all the people like that there, it's fantastic. Because you know what?
Hello, my fellow podcast family.
Yeah. So there you go.
Trying to get that.
Here is the fucking news.
All right. So GDC just happened this past week. Lots of news came out. We'll run through some of the bigger pieces of news, one of which was actually kind of surprising. Sony announced that they will have a PlayStation news event on March 25th. It's going to be called the State of Play. And more or less, it's going to emulate the Nintendo Direct formula. So it's going to be a online video that will debut March 25th at 5 p.m. Eastern. It'll be on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook, so you should be able to find it pretty easily. And they plan to roll these out numerous times through the course of the year. So, I mean, really just take it a straight-up page out of Nintendo's book. And I think this is what we can expect from Sony moving forward. I think this actually might spell the actual doom of their E3 participation because it very much sounds like this is what they, this is the plan now moving forward. So if you are curious to see what Sony is up to, what they've got planned coming out, check it out tomorrow, March 25th. If you're listening to this right now, it'll be at 5 p.m. Eastern. More news coming out of last week.
Mm-hmm.
Cuphead. The Microsoft published exclusive Cuphead is coming to the Nintendo Switch.
Perfect place for it.
April 18th. Yeah, April 18th.
Surprisingly. Sorry. Can we just do a rewind? The Sony thing.
Yeah.
Was there not? There was something I read yesterday or seen yesterday about they were making some announcement that they were going to stop doing something on the 1st of April. They were going to stop streaming games, or they were going to stop doing something. No. It was they were going to stop selling direct download codes.
Oh, direct download codes to GameStop.
Yep.
From the 1st of April.
Yeah,
and that sounds a bit dodge.
Yeah, I saw the April 1st date, and so I thought, you know what? Let's wait a beat on
that.
Pronounce that as news. But anyway, so Cuphead coming to the Nintendo Switch April 18th. Absolutely perfect game for the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
More interestingly, though, it is going to have Xbox Live support And so that was basically kind of reiterated. They said that we were partnering with Studio MDHR to investigate bringing Xbox Live features beyond Xbox and PC to Nintendo Switch. This kind of, again, kind of ties into this narrative that we've been hearing rumors talking about Microsoft and Nintendo getting really buddy-buddy with one another. This is like straight up, I mean, they are implementing Xbox Live features into a game on Nintendo Switch. Never really thought I would ever hear that actually happen. I always thought that was kind of more smoke and mirrors, pipe dream kind of thing. I don't want to speculate on what this means for the future of Xbox and Nintendo, because, I mean, this could just be a one-off, hey, we want to kind of test the waters, see if it makes sense. I know people were talking about Game Pass coming, that kind of thing. I think it's a lot of early speculation, but certainly points to a very interesting future that may or may not happen. Things that I also did not expect to hear. Disney is... They posted several job postings for Lucasfilm Games. So apparently they are bringing back, in a sense, kind of Lucasfilm or Lucas Games under the moniker of Lucasfilm Games now. And they said, you know, they basically would oversee all the development of games based on the Lucasfilm's IP, like Star Wars. There was an update posted by Disney, and they said the company recently posted several job listings for producers and marketers under the Lucasfilm Game badge, all of whom would it's basically, I'm just repeating exactly what I just said. But what they did say is that they are not taking away Star Wars from EA. So they are still going to license their Star Wars IP out. They still like that model of licensing the IP out to others, but they're creating a specific division within Lucas, you know, to oversee this, manage it, manage those third-party relationships, possibly even do some internal development. But right now, it seems like this might be more kind of working in conjunction with that as opposed to just completely pulling it away.
Brilliant. Lucasfilm, the games was a great brand. Way back. We all remember getting wowed and flying the Millennium Falcon through corridors badly controlled and everything. But just the imagination went wild with that stuff. So good stuff. Good. Yeah, want to see some good quality Star Wars gaming.
That still remains to be seen. But maybe Respawn Entertainment can actually do that. Oculus Rift made some news. The Oculus Rift S was announced. It will be arriving this spring for $399. Basically, that's an increase of $50 from the original Rift. It's basically going to offer up an improved resolution and the same kind of integrated audio system as the Quest and the Go headsets. So basically, the S is swapping out the OLED displays for the LCD panels. Using the Oculus Go, which will bump up the resolution from 1080 by 1200 to 1280 by 1440. So it also will have the refresh rate dipping from 90 hertz to 80 hertz. And the field of view is going to be larger. So I don't know. I mean, this revision doesn't seem to be really needed.
I need it to be the same size as these big glasses.
Yeah. it's kind of a weird revision I get the resolution bump, but I don't know if it was really needed. I would have liked to have seen them actually, you know, go for a bigger change as opposed to what was here, because this doesn't seem like this is all that, you know, changes that really warranted a whole new SKU. Anyway, all right, let's talk about the elephant in the room or in the cloud. Google Stadia. This kicked off GDC. This sparked all kinds of conversations, conversations that a lot of the people in the chat also engaged in. Google unveiled their new gaming platform, Stadia, and they promised to be able to basically instantly access and play games within seconds. They said that visuals can be up to 4K and 60 frames per second with HDR color at launch.
Yep.
And they said eventually they will support 8K, which I think everybody's like, wait a minute, hold on, 4K is still kind of new. Why are we talking about 8K? But basically, Google is, you know, has a system in place where they have all of the instances of Stadia are basically you know, machines on their end at their data centers where users access through the internet. You need to either have a Chrome browser, Chromecast, or a Pixel phone to be able to use Stadia. Basically, you know, this works in browser. It works through Chromecast.
Pretty much anything.
I mean, you tap into Google, into their servers, and you will be able to play games on their end. They did not announce any price point or any kind of subscription service, so it's still kind of not known exactly what that's going to be. But at the end of the day, it was impressive. I'm not sure what Robin is doing other than showing us his ass.
Sorry about that. I'm just blowing the dust off my own life here from way back.
Oh, nice.
Okay, right. So the sort of the things that I like and the things that sort of strike me is this as well. There's some of the things
Quickly, Rob. Let's just go through what they showed off, okay, and then we'll dive into that. But
right,
so they also showed off a new controller. Their Google controller connects with Wi-Fi. Interestingly, though, it doesn't connect to your computer. It actually connects to the Google data center as well. So this is one of the ways they're trying to get rid of lag and input lag, mm-hmm, is the controller itself actually connects to the Google data center and taps into the instance as well. So in a sense, your controller has a Wi-Fi signal to Google, your computer has or device has a Wi-Fi signal to Google, and they kind of pair up and work in unison together. They also announced they have a new game studio called Stadia Games and Entertainment. It's being headed up by Jade Raymond. If you were hoping they were going to announce some exclusive games from this, that isn't happening yet. I think they just hired her literally like 2 weeks back. So they didn't have anything really to announce here other than the fact that they are going to be investing in first party. They're also going to be investing in third party, publishers. Doom Eternal was the one game that they did really talk about as being kind of something that would be there at launch. They also had that playable demo of Doom Eternal actually on the show floor as well, as well as, of course, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which was also there and was part of their beta. This is going to launch in 2019, so it is coming this year. We don't know specifically when, though. Again, no details we're giving on the actual launch date or pricing in terms of how that's going to work. All of that really is up to speculation at this point. Now, okay. Robin.
Right.
OnLive. Something we experienced before.
Yeah, so OnLive. Okay, so the differences between, from my understanding, between OnLive and the PlayStation service as well, is what they're saying is where OnLive failed was it was using the ordinary internet. Okay, so you connected to the ordinary internet and you went to a data server and you went to the server, the game was on, it was streamed to you. What Google are saying is once you get to a server that out of your house to the main lines, that the data is getting transferred to a data center specifically just for that gaming stream. So it's a dedicated line. You can include, dedicated line just for that gaming service. It's not on the ordinary internet. They say they have the infrastructure there in place, and they're it's easy enough for them to do that. So that's an interesting part of it. Now, some of the stuff that was said about yes, you can play games instantly. And that's lovely. So you're watching someone on a YouTube video, and there'll be a button on the YouTube video on a game, and you think, oh, I've never played this before, I've subscribed to their service. You press that button, and within 5 seconds, 10 seconds, you're in at the start menu or the loading screen of this game, which is, that's a nice thing. But the way they said it was, you know, like they had a download screen in the background, like the game is downloading and it might take several hours for it to download. I still don't think that's a big issue. But
well, that was them saying this is how you do it now.
How easy it is.
You download it now. And their service, you're not going to download anything. In fact, they came out and said very specifically, this service will never support downloading. This is always going to be streaming. You will never be able to download games from the Google server to your computer.
And as Corzan says a lot in the chat right now, connection speed will be the biggest issue here, and the traffic in your area to get from my house to that first node is that's the most difficult part of its journey until it gets into their infrastructure. And although things are much better since OnLive, they're still not just as fabulous as this needs to be. The big plus about this for Google is that it will just get better and better. And this is a service that will grow. And this is, whether we like it or not, a few years ago, digital was, oh, we all like our discs. And the majority of us now are going digital. Well, within our communities anyway. But I kind of think that this is going to be the way. Your TV will have Xbox Live or PlayStation or Google or whatever, as a service, a game as a service built into, it's just like an app, like Netflix. And that's eventually. Now, that could be 10 or 20 years away, but I think that's boxes and for gaming is, it's just not going to be a thing. It's just not.
Yeah. Now, Google has said to use the service, they recommend at least a 25 megabit connection, which, again, is pretty standard these days in terms of broadband. You know, I don't think people that are getting
high-end internet. That now, so.
And on a good day I have that, but not consistently, and a lot of people... I mean, if I hadn't come up with my wacky solution where I am right now, that wouldn't be there. Now, some of the stuff that people have been concerned about would be latency. So on a game like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or something that the latency, milliseconds are unbelievably important, this would be there's a question mark. Nobody said it's bad yet, really. Or Doom Doom as well would be one of those ones.
Yeah. Now, Digital Foundry apparently was hands-on with it at the GDC event. They allowed them to do some analysis, and they said that the actual latency of the controller was coming back slightly lower than what the Xbox One X has with its controller. So that is definitely a positive thing, is super low latency. However, other people have been saying from the show floor when they've been testing Doom out that they have actually noticed considerably that there is some input lag happening. So I think this, again, is going to be an experience that it's going to differ depending upon your internet connection. So I think the comment of this is going to really be dependent upon your connection speed 100% is true. And the fact that they aren't allowing downloads, you know, complicates things. I beta tested this. I didn't have any real problems with it when I beta tested it. I used a standard USB 360 controller plugged into my computer. I have a wired connection on that computer, so, you know, I had high speeds. You know, we're talking probably close to 100 megabit connection speed, so that, you know, more than matches what they would recommend. So I had a pretty good positive experience from it.
Hey, look, it's great to have another player like this in there. They have the infrastructure, they have the clout and the money to get in behind this. And you see what Microsoft are doing with the live thing as well, which will come later on this year, early next year, that you'll be able to play your games anywhere you are as well. So it's the same sort of idea. So I can't wait. Great.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that we're going to be getting a lot more information on this. I think, you know, they came out, they didn't say a whole heck of a lot in terms of, you know, there wasn't a lot to the announcement. At the end of the day, I mean, they showed off the service. Don't get me wrong. They showed off the service. It is impressive. The tech seems impressive. I think all of us are kind of quasi interested. I don't think anybody in this, you know, between the three of us is saying no to this service. But I think Google still has a lot to prove, and I say that, and it's kind of being borne out in some different polls that were put out there. So one, we did a little poll, which we'll talk about in just a moment, about a digital future, and if people are ready to take that or not, and go that route. But one of the things I did think was very interesting was there's a gentleman by the name of Shinobi 602, who is a very infamous NeoGAF. He used to be a NeoGAF, kind of an insider-ish type individual. He now works for a game company. But he posted up a poll on Twitter asking, you know, hey, after GDC, are you interested in Google Stadia? And a lot of people that follow him are gamers, straight up, hardcore gamers from NeoGAF, from Reset Era. These are very popular gaming forums. He had basically 2,818 votes in his, so he had that's a very sizable survey. You know, that is statistically sound. The choices were yes, I'm there day one, maybe, and then, you know, in parentheses, games, prices, etc. So wanting more information, and then no, not interested at all. 6% of the people said yes, day one. 51% said maybe, and 43% came back with no, not interested at all. So that's pretty telling in terms of the reaction to Google. I think a lot of people are, you know, there's an opportunity for Google here, based on those numbers, to get a chunk of the market if they can convince people to make that move. But equally, there's a huge component of people that seem pretty turned off to this. You know, I think the no download stance has a lot of people freaked out.
Isn't that crazy? Like, what are they downloading? Data that they don't own, they rent the right to use the data. It's not right. They don't even have a disk any longer. So, you know, just let it go. I mean, my Amazon movie library, my Apple movie library, my MP3s, and my Spotify now that I stream completely all the time. I'm buying vinyl again, but that's a different story altogether. It's the same conversations we were having about the 360, about downloads, and even I can go back at the beginning of the 360 era when we had to put in the little memory cards to save your game save and stuff like that there, and people were, you had to back it up to the, remember the arguments about, oh no, I don't want to back that up to the cloud, back up my game saves to the cloud, no way. And now I can swap between Xbox here and the man cave. I can go over to the house and pick up immediately where I left off, and this is it's fear of the unknown, and just let it happen. You don't have to do this, but
you know? I think it's partly fear of the unknown, but I think the other thing, and this is the eventual ask that is going to be being made of Google, is basically come to our platform.
Yeah.
Abandon Steam, abandon Epic Store, that's where you've gravitated to, because the Google Store is not going to play with those other stores. You'll be able to do cross-play. They have said they will support cross-play, but that's going to be up to developers. But this is taking your game, you know, you're going to literally be transferring your game library, or you can't. Actually, maybe that's a better way to put it. You can't take your games over. So it is a disruption of the biggest proportion.
But just see
gaming.
PewDiePie, right? PewDiePie or Stumpy Long Knob, him, right? Right. All of them, they're going, oh my God, people, I can be playing this game and they can press buy immediately. You know, they see this as a revenue stream for them. Really easy revenue stream for them, for getting extra commission. So I think the Twitch guys on Mixer, if that's the thing, should be really nervous about this, because this is the drive. Because they focus so much on, so many people play games and so many people watch games. That's just as important because of the links with YouTube. And that they see where there were... They get subscription service for people for doing this, and if they don't get subscription service for people doing this, they get the choice to sell them the game as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ultimate goal here for Google is twofold. It's one, they're creating a store that's going to be easily accessible, and also you're going to get these huge benefits of being able to, you know, buy your game and then day one play it. Not even day one, like day 5 seconds play it. So the instant on, the ability to just jump in and start playing right away is crazy exciting. But I also think Google is very self-serving in that everything they talked about in this announcement was integration with YouTube. And I don't know how many times they brought it up, but they had a very long segment about how you can be on YouTube, you can stream on YouTube, you can advertise your game on YouTube, and it can be instantly bought through YouTube. And it seems, sometimes I hear them talking about this, and I almost feel like, man, this is technology they developed specifically with YouTube in mind to further monetize YouTube. And I guarantee you, you're going to see somebody with the stature of a PewDiePie who is being paid a ton of money by Google to stream games on Stadia when it launches, and he will get some kind of percentage of all the games bought using his store link on his stream, because that's the other thing that they can do. They can incentivize people to stream through YouTube exclusively, and then you can, if somebody clicks on that link to buy the game, because again, I think that's how this is going to work, by the way. It's not going to be a subscription service. I think it's just going to be a storefront. Google wants you to buy the game. They're not going to charge you for this hardware to stream it. They're going to eat that cost, and it's a big ask, but the more I think about it, the more I think that's the play. I think they just want everybody buying through the Google store, and they think they can monopolize this because they're going to be out of the gate first. The one thing, though, again, the exclusive games are not there yet. The reason to be in this store, other than the technology, isn't there. So, we'll see. And certainly from a fighting game perspective, from a competitive shooter perspective, I think this is still a non-starter. I think those communities, those ultra-competitive players are looking at this and like, this isn't for me. I can't do that because I need, zero input lag in the fighting game community. You're never going to see this at a tournament.
Really,
fighting Greg? Game tournament.
I mean, your reflexes aren't that fast anyway. And so what, did you really notice?
I punch you fast that you know. I think it still has a ways to come.
Look, it was a fantastic presentation. It was very slick. Yes. They never tripped. It was well rehearsed. It ran smoothly. The little controller that they have looks like it's a pretty nice little piece of hardware. It looks like it's quite well thought out so far. I'm sure if it works, they'll bring and start to do their own exclusive stuff. But they don't need to because there's such a uniqueness of there. And how many people do they need to get? What, 30 million, 40 million subscribers and all of a sudden, or 1 million subscribers for infrastructure which is already there, Woo!
I don't know they're going after subscribers on this. I think literally they want people just buying through their store. Because if you look at the history of Google, they're not really about subscription services. They're about being a storefront, having you buy through them, being able to advertise to you, and that's the key. Now, if they come up with a system of, hey, you're playing your game, and then say about 30 minutes into it, you get an advertisement, no, that is not going to play well.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't buy into that. So I'm hoping that's not going to be their model. It's
definitely going to be a subscription. There's going to be a subscription service. There is.
Yeah. Well,
all right, cool.
Let's shift gears real quickly to the poll we did. So we had a poll we talked about a little bit last week. We said, hey, does the thought of going all digital for your gaming scare you? This is kind of in a lead up to what we thought was going to be happening with Google. We had about 51 votes on this. 73% of people said, nah, I'm already there. So clearly digital is winning in our community for sure. Some of the responses, and I thought this would be kind of interesting to go through. DinocTQ, Luis Raimundo said, going all digital on PC makes sense to me, but on consoles it doesn't. There isn't much protection on the consumer for going digital, although Microsoft is getting better at bringing everything forward. Teflon 12, Jason replied, the only physical games I buy anymore are games for the Nintendo consoles. Christopher Matthew, CPM Matthew, he chimed in saying, with services like Steam and Game Pass, I'm moving more and more to digital distribution only. Our very lovely Sarah RCGC, sorry, Sarah. She said, I voted already there, even though I still have plenty of discs. It's the obvious future, whether we like it or not, now that decent sales are hitting consoles as well as PC. She says, I have a soft spot for discs because of trade-in, but I can see that going the way of the dinosaur soon. Paul Stuntmaster said, No, as will save me money, as it won't go full digital ever, so that that be the day I stop buying new games. So there's a firm no.
Yeah.
Submaster. And then last comment was from Caliburn M. He said, always physical media when possible. It'll be far more convenient in the future when it may be the only place it exists. So also somebody that was kind of anti-digital. But I think clearly digital futures here, a lot of us are embracing it already. And I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Hmm. What do you do? Just
what do you do?
I don't know.
You know, just do things. Stuff.
You know what you can't do?
Just do
what,
stuff.
What stuff?
You can talk about what other games are coming up in the future.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah?
Yes.
But we walked through some games coming up.
And there are a few, so hang on to your hats. Your new releases for March 23rd through the 31st are, and I'm going to bungle some names, so prepare yourself, Atelier Lelua, the Scion of Arland.
Haha, I wrote that one. Out
I want to check it. For the PS4, Switch on the 26th. Danganronpa Trilogy for the PS4. Mm-hmm. All right. Also on the 26th. Dragon, March for Death for the Switch on the 26th. Final Fantasy VII for the Xbox One and Switch on the 26th. Generation Zero for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC on the 26th. MLB The Show 19 for the PS4 on the 26th. Nelke and the Legendary Alchemist, there's that word again, Heirs of the New World for the PS4 and Switch on the 26th. Let me scroll down, big list. The Princess Guide, which is obviously something I need, for the PS4 and Switch on the 26th. The Walking Dead, the final season, episode 4 for the PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 26th. Ooh, it'd be neat to see how they wrap that one up. Yoshi's Crafted World for the Switch on the 29th. Tropico 6 for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC on the 29th. Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered and Liberation Remastered for the PS4 and Xbox One and PC on the 29th. American Ninja Warrior for the PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on the 31st. And those are your new releases.
So there's
could you read through that all again for us?
Yeah, right. Sure, I'll get right on that.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered. Okay. Liberation, I can understand, but 3? Okay.
I don't know. I mean, look, it continues to be a busy first half of the year. I think that's probably the bigger component to all this is that there's been a lot of games coming out.
Yeah, yeah. What's next?
Well, what's next? We've been playing Trials Rising. Robin, we've all been competing. We've got a little challenge going on for the community.
I must apologize.
We had challenge number 3 just this past week. The track was Lumbering On.
Sorry about that.
So basically, we bloody challenged container, the bloody community. Container. Get out there, play play the game, play the track, and get the best times in. We have a WhatsApp group. But basically, you needed to either post to the WhatsApp group, preferably, or maybe to the Facebook page, or tweet at Marcanix to make sure you got your time in. So we have the top 5 times from this past week's challenge. Again, this was the track Lumbering On. Everybody was using the Squid Bike. So that's the beginner bike, the first bike you get. Starting from number 5, we had the Legit Chinny. He had a time of 47.690. So there you go. Even a ginger can play this game. Marcanix came in at 47.009, just edging out Pete. Martin C. 1984 had a time of 46.335. And last week's champ, Womble MK3, he had a time of 45.697, which was tied with me and my time of 45.697. And beating out everybody was our newest community member to join into the challenge, Luis Raimundo, also known as Denok TQ. He put in a stellar time of 45.589. And basically dashed all of our hopes of winning.
Well done.
So well done. Yeah, well done.
Overachievers, all of you.
Absolutely. So yeah, so Trials Rising. We have our next challenge. So challenge number four.
Mm-hmm.
If you are interested, you have to play on the track MX and the City. We put out a poll. We'll do it again for the next track. Basically, this at the time of the writing of our notes had won. Subsequently, though, it looks like somebody else voted this one out. But MX and the City is going to be the next track. So
oh, yeah.
There you go. Using the squid bike again. We also kind of wanted to make sure that you know after this week, we will move on to another track using the next bike, the Rhino bike. So make sure you have that unlocked. You need to hit level 14 to unlock that. But MX and the City on the squid. Start your racing. Get your times into Marcanix, whether it be through WhatsApp, Twitter, or Facebook. Make sure you get it to him, and we will have you part of the challenge here.
Yes, good fun. Yeah, damn it, that track this week, as I was saying, the bloody container at the beginning, I think it was driving me insane, and Mark as well, especially. Mark was on a mission. It's good fun. And it's good having the competition.
It is good fun.
So, get to it. Throw it, and even if you're crap, like me, just give it a whiz. So,
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk some victories achieved, Robin.
Cool. Okay, victories achieved. When you finish your games, what you do? So, when you finish a game to the credits, take a selfie of yourself and send it off to @OC_podcast with the hashtag victory achieved. And what happens there, we retweet that for you and you get entered into a draw to win money, real money. And actually, the next draw will be at the end of this month. That will be next weekend. And you can win $20 or 15 quid for PSN, XBL, Steam, Nintendo, whatever. Or as a... You could buy something nasty for Alcoholic Shark to tell them to go away. And anyway, people that completed games this week, we've got only three, quite a week. Caliburn M, he's been busy. He finished Sniper Elite 4. He shot people in the right places to finish that game. He also finished XCOM Enemy Unknown from 1984. So, like, wow.
Fantastic game. Great
completion.
The original granddaddy, yeah.
And John Mouse finished all the Lego Harry Potters. He done them all.
All of them.
All the Potters. All the Potters done. Yeah. So well done, guys. Keep them coming in. Again, draw next week. One draw just this week. If you complete a game this week, we'll be sending you money if you win. Hey. Mm-hmm. No? So yeah. Hey, and for that, you get this.
You all have a victories achieved. Victories achieved. You have one. A victories achieved.
Oh, wow.
Never gets old.
Never, ever.
All right. Goodness. If you have made it this far, thank you for listening and Woo-hoo. Continuing on. We are on Twitch. We are on Mixer. We are on YouTube every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK. Mm-hmm. Usually 1 p.m. on the West Coast. Usually 4 p.m. on the East Coast. 3 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. on Easter Island, and even 7 a.m. in Australia. So come in, have some fun, be part of the chat. Be nice in the chat, but be part of the chat. It is a fun time. We are also on iTunes and Stitcher and other audio places. So if you don't have the ability to join us live, you just want to throw it on some headphones, maybe run on the treadmill, we are there on iTunes, on Stitcher. So go download it. Listen to us at the gym. We have a bunch of clubs. So look, if you want people to game with and you're looking for other gamers, go on. If you're on Xbox One, go to the OC Podcast Club. On PS4, we've got the OC Podcast Community. We've got an OC Podcast group on Steam, although I hear that's a dead platform now, according to Google. OC Podcast Server on Discord. We're pretty much everywhere. Discord is at some point going to be the future.
Oh,
supposedly.
Yeah. Supposedly.
What they say.
All right. And more importantly, listen to this little service announcement.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at OC underscore podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
No, that wouldn't work, did it? No.
No.
What in the world?
All right. Look, everybody, thank you for tuning in, for listening to us ramble on. Kim, start us up. Let's do some quick shout-outs and let's get out of here.
Alrighty, I'm going to shout out our shatters because we've had a few today. And they are Electrical Longboard, John Mouse, RCGC, Banana Nannon, Commander Root, McWallace420, Tide, Mirage, Leonardo84, Corazon, Cretan or Cretan, I'm not real sure. Positivity Bot. So, hopefully it's
there. We go. Good.
Anyway. Right. So, that's our shatter.
Good lads, thank you. Some very pleasant people. There was only one banhammer wielded by the Kim tonight. So, yeah, it's a pleasant place. Be pleasant in it. Be friendly. We're a friendly bunch.
So anyway. That's our shatters. And if you want to find me, I'm at GamerGirl27. That's Twitter. That's Xbox. GamerGirl, GURL underscore 27 on the PlayStation. So, shout out to you guys. It was fun yet again, but you hear me say that every show. And, now you're starting to wonder if I'm lying about it, but I really aren't.
It must be one time or two that's a lie. Goodness me. It's like
Robin got drunk on the show was hilarious. But anyway.
I don't get drunk on the show. I would never do that. Sarah, thank you very much for listening and being there. I want to shout out to Steve. Daddy Steve, we played Pirate Game. Sea of Thieves with Steve, and he had some terrible news with his family last week. And we just want to say, we're thinking about you. And our thoughts are with you. And anybody that's having difficulty with the loss of a family member or anything like that there, just speak out. Speak to someone. And if you can't speak to somebody you know, speak to somebody you don't know. Like us. And we'll be there for you. So, thanks everybody for listening. And we'll see you next week. You want to get me, you'll get me live at Bongo the Sane. If I'm not live, it'll be the afterlife. at Bongo the Sane, bongosbits.com, Bongo the Sane, Bongo anywhere. And get me and I'll reply. Please, and please send us in your questions, emails. Please send us tweets. Please, we love that sort of stuff. It's fantastic. Yeah. Greg, thank you for being a wonderful host tonight. You've been fantastic. You've been the best. I think it's been one of the best you've ever been.
Well, I will just say that this podcast sucked. I can't believe I had to podcast with the two of you amateurs. Really not that much fun at all. I put up with you guys because I have to. Thank you both. It was fun.
Oh, John Moyce. John Moyce. Oh yes, John Moyce. John. You posted a lovely thing on Twitter earlier on today about isn't it nice to be nice to all the people that we've known over the last 10 or 15 years. A lot of us have got to meet each other in the flesh and press palms, and even if we haven't, we've got to know a lot of each other really, really well. And online friends can be real friends, and it's been great. The community has been fantastic. So thanks for saying that, John. It was great. Lovely.
Yeah, that is very true. Very true. Wise words from John Mouse. Anyway, thank you to both of you. I really did have fun.
Sure.
I will say tune in next week.
For sure.
We'll be here. Mm-hmm. Mark, get better. Feel better.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
See you same time next week.
And I have to remember to go to the goodbye screen, which is now. Goodbye, everyone.